Coming up on today's Locked On Dodgers, MLB sets a new deadline, and we look at how the Dodgers lineup stacks against the division. That's what's on tap, so make sure to keep it Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Remember, we're free and available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, subscribe in all those places and you'll get to hear us every weekday morning because we know we're not going to miss a day. If this is your first time listening or watching, I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ream Fiends. My usual co-host, Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, will not be in today. But we are both lifelong Dodger fans that have also spent some time in the locker room and the press box covering the team. But we're not quite insiders, so we're still here bringing the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. Go ahead and subscribe and follow whatever the wording is, wherever you are at, and let's talk some Dodgers. First, we're going to talk about the fact that MLB has set a new deadline for, you know, I don't know if they know what the word deadline means anymore, but they set a new deadline for trying to get in 162 games, and that deadline is today, Tuesday, March 8th. They said if they can reach a deal by today, then they will be able to make up those games that have already been canceled. They'll be players will be able to start showing up on Friday. And the season will get started, I would imagine, on time or that week later. And then they'll make up for it with doubleheaders and on off days, they said. So, new deadline. They still aren't really – they're closer than they were before in terms of numbers and everything else. But they're still not that close. They are far apart or furthest apart on – the luxury tax, the CBT number, and they're getting closer on the player pool. The player pool is close enough to where they should realistically be able to handle it. The CBT number is where they're probably going to have to negotiate the most just because players want it. Their initial year is close enough, but the fifth year is far apart. The players want it around $260 million. The owners want to keep it still around $230, $235 million. So they're not that close there. But realistically, I don't know. Obviously, you would think the owners would have common sense and realize that, hey, you know, money's going to go up as time goes on. Every league that has a salary cap goes up basically every year just based on, you know, new money, inflation, everything else, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what the owners are seeing. I don't know why the owners would think that they would spend the same amount. The CBT should be the same amount now as it is in 5 years, other than the fact that they don't want to spend or they want to have an excuse to not spend. And that's the biggest thing with that competitive ballast tax of what it's become. It's basically become a de facto salary cap. Some teams have gone over it a few times, one of those teams being the Dodgers. Most teams try to avoid it or get close enough to it to where they try to avoid it by shedding some salary instead of taking on salary or trying to get better players in order to become a championship contender. So that's where they're at. Obviously, Jeff talked about the new rules that kind of seem to be part of the package. The union, players union, did shut down robot arms for at least 2022 and 2023, so we won't see them realistically until 2024, if that's what the route they're going to end up going. I would imagine all this negotiation has been under a 14-team playoff format, which I don't love personally. I believe it cheapens the regular season a little bit. And even, you know, as we've seen in other sports and as we've seen in baseball too, you can give an advantage to the top overall seed. You can give the greatest advantage to the top overall seed. But at some point, it doesn't quite become that advantage. You know, if you give them a bye, then they have more days off. And some teams, you know, theoretically catch momentum and ride that momentum, and the team that had to tase off maybe loses a little bit of it. There's, you know, unless I think in the Korean League, if you win the regular season, like best record overall, you go right to the league championship series. Now, I don't think that'll ever happen in baseball, but that would be an incentive enough to make the regular season matter. Where, hey, if you win the most games in the regular season, you're 4 wins away from the World Series, guaranteed, automatically. I don't see that happening, but that would be an incentive. Now, if you have 14 teams, I mean, you really either got to incentivize being the top team or you got to make the bottom teams really struggle through a grueling process in order for them to even have a chance at playing in the World Series. Like, you got to have them playing every day, no home games, stuff like that. Like, obviously, some teams, some lower seeds will have home games, but just realistically, you know, have six play seven, and then seven, the winner of that plays five, and then the winner of that plays four, and then the winner of that makes the top four or something like that. The NBA has the play-in game that they just started where it's kind of like that. It's 10, you know, you can get 1 through 10 seeds. The 7 plays 10, 8 plays 9. If 7 wins, they go on. And then the winner of 8 and 9 has to play the loser, or 7 and 8 play 9, whatever it is. You have to go through a process in order to get to the actual playoffs. So if they can find some way to do it like that, then 14 teams, I guess, wouldn't be the worst thing, especially if they're going to get baseball started and everything else can get in order. But I don't necessarily love it, but that's just how it is. So yeah, hopefully on tomorrow's show we'll be talking about baseball being back. But you know, as we've seen so far this offseason, I don't know how realistic that is, but either way, we're gonna hold out for hope right now. I'm sure we'll see reports throughout the day, probably into the night, and we're just gonna have to wait and see. We're going to talk about the Dodgers lineups, how it stacks up against the NL West, kind of how similar how I did yesterday for the bullpen. But first, let's talk about Bet Online. Football season's over. Basketball season is full steam ahead. Baseball season's on pause, but whatever you need, betonline.net has you covered for all the latest odds, totals, player performance props, to where the next player is going to sign, the next coach is going to land, whatever it is. BetOnline.net is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs, and it's the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. Not just basketball, BetOnline.net is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds, right to any other coverage that's going on in sports. BetOnline.net, check it out. Head to the website today on your laptop or mobile device. Learn about all the trends. Learn about all the action. Get in on some of those trends. Get in on some of that action. Bet Online, where the game starts. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. If you want to check out something else, check out Locked On MLB Prospects with host Lindsey Crosby. He's a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's also free and available wherever you get podcasts, just like Locked On Dodgers. So find Locked On Dodgers, find Locked On MLB Prospects, and get more knowledgeable. All right, so yesterday I talked about bullpen, how it stacks up. Dodgers should be the best bullpen in the division, if not right behind or battling with the Giants for best bullpen in the division. That was with the major caveat that bullpens are volatile and relievers are volatile, and that teams could still make signings after the lockout ends in order to improve that. Today we're talking about lineups. The main caveat with the lineup is not so much volatility. It's the fact that we don't know the final lineups yet. We have lineups of what they are right now, but there's still a lot of premium talent out there that can be signed. There's still trades that can be made. There's still things that can happen that can change us. So this is lineups as of March 8th, 2022, and where they stack up. And, you know, we'll go through the Dodgers and with no particular order, we'll just kind of run through, you know, position-wise. So, as of right now, you got Max Muncy at first. You got Chris Taylor, Gavin Lux at second. You got Trey Turner at short. Justin Turner at third. Mookie, Bellinger, Pollock in the outfield. And then Will Smith behind the plate. Now, that's Mookie Betts, former MVP, all-star talent. Trey Turner, one of the best shortstops in baseball. You got Will Smith, who should make his first All-Star this year and one of the best catchers in baseball. You got Cody Bellinger, former MVP, hopefully getting back on track. You got Max Muncy, All-Star. You got Chris Taylor, All-Star. You got A.J. Pollock, who wasn't an All-Star but was one of the better Dodgers all last year. And you got Justin Turner, who, you know, had a really hot start to the year last year, fizzled a little bit toward the end. But either way, he's always going to be able to hit for the most part. So, you know, regardless of, you know, the Dodgers lost Corey Seager, one of the best hitting shortstops in baseball. And their lineup, you can still trot out, theoretically, an all-star at every position or you know, all-star caliber. And it's hard to compete with that, obviously. You know, the thing with the Dodgers is that for us as fans, we've been thinking about Freddie Freeman a lot. And, you know, add Freddie Freeman to that lineup, push Max Muncy to second base, and then you have Chris Taylor, Gavin Lux floating, or you put Max Muncy at DH, you have Chris Taylor, Gavin Lux still at second base. That's the other part of the lineups this year in National League is the addition of the DH. Now, as we've talked about before, the Dodgers, I don't see them going after somebody that's a DH-only type. I see them trying to use the DH as rotational to get people days off. However, if they do sign a guy like Freddie Freeman, you know, theoretically Max Muncy could become more of a DH type, or Justin Turner could become more of a DH type. You get Chris Taylor over at third base a little bit more, or Max Muncy at third base a little bit more. Although Max Muncy did say he's very comfortable at second base, that he prefers second base. He likes the angles from where it's at. So they'd be able to move stuff around, maybe try to get Gavin Lux over there at third base. Regardless of what it is, I don't think the Dodgers would sign a pure DH type. But that's where their lineup sits. Now let's look at one other lineup right now. Let's look at the Padres. And they got Eric Hosmer at first base, Jake Cronenworth at second base, Tatis at shortstop, Machado at third. They got an outfield of Grisham, Will Myers, and I believe Profar at the moment with Austin Nola behind the plate. Now they, very strong infield. Eric Hosmer being the weakest one, but he has his moments. But you got Cronenworth, Tatis, Machado, three all-star caliber players around the infield. You got Will Myers, who can be good, but is also, you know, inconsistent. You don't know what you're going to get out of him. Trent Grisham had a weird year last year, but theoretically could be pretty good as well. Profar, I believe, is more, at this point, would be more of a placeholder. I think they would want to sign somebody else, or maybe they have somebody else on the roster currently. And then Austin Nola behind the plate should be good if he's healthy. But the thing with the Padres that we saw last year is that, you know, that they have the upper echelon talent. They have the three all-stars in the infield. The other infielder they have is Ha-Seong Kim, who didn't really quite work out last year. The other catcher they have is, they have Caratini. They have the young guy Camposano. They got a lot of catchers, so they might be able to trade one of those catchers in order to get the outfielder. Yeah, I'm looking at their 40-man roster right now, and they only have three outfielders listed, Grisham, Myers, and Profar. So they're definitely going to have to make a move there. They got a lot of pitchers, a lot of catchers, so they're definitely going to have to make a move in order to get another outfielder out there, because as of right now, they would either have one of their catchers at DH or Kim at DH or, you know, yeah, one of them at DH. You would imagine they want, I don't know, maybe Will Myers play DH. But either way, the lineup is strong at the top. You know, you got a lineup at the top of, usually you have Grisham up top. Grisham, Tatis, Cronenworth, Machado, and then Hosmer, Myers. That's not terrible. After that, you know, it falls off a little bit. I would imagine they're going to supplement that, get another outfielder. Maybe they could be a team that goes after a full-time DH, like a Nelson Cruz type, where they just have a guy that sits there at DH and all his job to do is hit, which is what they could use. They do need, you know, Hosmer and Myers in a five spot is not the worst thing, but, you know, like I said, inconsistent. You don't know exactly what you're going to get. And, you know, well, Myers and Eric Hosmer, I don't know. We have mixed feelings about them, so. Where the Dodgers sit, are they better than the Padres lineup? Yes, they're better than the Padres lineup. Do they have, and they can compete with the top tier talent, you know, Mookie Betts, Trey Turner, and at this point, you know, Max Muncy competes very well with the Cronenworth, Tatis, Machado. Now, realistically, they compete. They're the same. Where the Dodgers maybe lose out a little bit there. Actually, no, I was going to say they maybe lose out a little bit in speed and stolen bases, but Trey Turner is one of the fastest in the game. Mookie Betts, if he's not injured, can put up 20, 25, 30 steals maybe. Obviously, Max Muncy's not going to put those up, but Machado only steals against the Dodgers, it appears like. So, yeah, they don't even lose out in really speed there. They don't lose. They lose a little bit in power because Tatis, you know, realistically was very powerful last year. Again, has 40-plus home run potential between Mookie, Muncy, and Trey Turner. Only Muncy really has like 40 home run potential, at least at this point, from what they've shown the last few years. But yeah, is the Dodgers better than the Padres projected lineup as of now? Yes. You know, but realistically, the Padres could, you know, I don't know. They're going to make a couple signings, I believe, and they're going to be better. I don't know if there's, you know, if they sign maybe like Freddie Freeman and somebody else, they could theoretically be better than the Dodgers lineup. But I don't see it as of now. And that's kind of where it sits right now. So Dodgers right as right now, better than Padres. So 1-2. So let's move on to another team. Let's move on to a team that probably won't be better. And that's the Colorado Rockies. And Colorado Rockies right now looking a little rough. Let's just go through a projected lineup found on rotochamp.com. They got CJ Cron at first. They got Brendan Rodgers at second. Garrett Hampson at short. Ryan McMahon at third. An outfield of Connor Joe, Charlie Blackman, Sam Hilliard with Elias Diaz at catcher. Yeah, that's not a lineup that's better than the Dodgers. That's not a lineup that's better than a lot of lineups in baseball at this point. You look at Connor Joe, who the Dodgers had in their minor league farm system, you know, probably was never really going to contribute too much in terms of helping out the Dodgers. You know, had a great story of overcoming cancer and that. But at the end of the day, you know, if he's a guy that's projected to be in your everyday lineup, you're probably not the greatest of teams. And that's really where the Rockies sit. I mean, CJ Cron had a good year last year. He should be a guy that continues to mash in the middle of that lineup. You know, they got Charlie Blackman is just kind of a mediocre player at this point. Slightly above average, I'd say slightly above average. You know, they have high hopes for Brendan Rodgers and Ryan McMahon. They could, you know, put up some good numbers, especially playing a bunch of games at Coors. But realistically, they don't have the power that they've had before. Just looking at projections, you know, they don't have the power they've had before. They don't have the lineup depth they've had before. They don't really have a lot going on for them. And, you know, maybe that's they traded Arenado. Trevor Story's probably not coming back. I mean, I guess he could come back and that would help their lineup a little bit, but not really. It's just a lineup of a bottom feeder team, and realistically, that's how it is. So right now, Dodgers 1, Padres 2, Rockies 3. We're going to talk about the Giants, going to talk about the Diamondbacks. But first, let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bars are the best tasting protein bars out there. But they don't just have Built Bars. They have Built Puffs, which are the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They both taste like candy bars. They both taste delicious. They're both good for you. They're both 100% covered in chocolate. They're both a treat. You can have it as dessert. You can have it as a pre-workout, you can have it as a post-workout, you can have it as a snack in the middle of the day, you can have it as whatever you need. Built Bars can really cover you in a lot of different areas, and most Built Bars are going to be around 130 calories with 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs, 17 grams of protein. Going to be everything you could want out of a candy bar, everything you could want out of a protein bar, but it's all mixed together in one simple bar. So go check out Built Bars. Check out all the flavors they got. They got a bunch of different flavors. They're always coming up with new flavors. And right now you can get 15% off your order with the promo code LOCKED15 if you go to Built.com. All you got to do is go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. After you're done doing that, go to Rock Auto, because this episode is also brought to you by Rock Auto. With ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now possible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. So why go to the store and just order the part like you could have done at home without having to deal with people, without having to spend on gas right now? Gas is expensive. You know, let other people waste their gas and bring it to you. Don't waste your own gas by going and going to the store and then having to order it. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You can order from wherever you are. Right now, take your phone out, go to rockauto.com, check out their website, find the solution to your auto part needs, look at all the parts you could find for your car or truck, and save money. You can spend up to 100% more for the same parts if you get them from a chain store or car dealership than you could if you get them with Rock Auto. And best part is, Rock Auto is a family business that's been helping people online for over 20 years. So head to rockauto.com, check out all the parts available for your car or truck, and the How Did You Hear About Us box, let them know Locked On sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. About to finish up here and look at the Diamondbacks lineup and then the Giants lineup and how it stacks up. And as you can imagine, the Diamondbacks lineup at this point would not stack up with the Dodgers lineup, does not stack up with the Padres lineup. But I guess theoretically could be an okay lineup, definitely better than the Rockies. You got Christian Walker at first base, Ketel Marte at second, Nick Ahmed at short, Josh Rojas at third. You got an outfield of Dalton Varsho, David Peralta, Pavin Smith, and then you got Carson Kelly behind the plate. And it's just interesting to me how now teams like the Rockies, now teams like the D-backs, they haven't been good the last few years, and then they continue to trot out kind of the same lineup. Like, they don't really change much. And if I was a fan of one of these teams, I'd be, you know, kind of upset. Like, we weren't good last year. Why are we going to run out the same lineup this year? I mean, Nick Ahmed's been the shortstop for a while. He can't hit. Yeah, he's decent on shortstop, but he can't hit. You know, Christian Walker is already getting older in his 30s. Realistically, he is what he is. He's not going to, you know, change the game. You know, Ketel Marte is a stud, and he's a guy that they probably should try to trade, at least maybe not before the season, but in the middle of the season, because realistically they're not going to be competing for a playoff spot. I guess they could compete if there's 14-team playoffs, but realistically, are you really going to win? Probably not. So I think they should try to find a way to get Ketel Marte somewhere else. But then you got David Peralta. He's been there forever. He's already in his mid-30s. You know, he's the same guy he's going to be. Pavin Smith's a young guy who came up and did pretty well for them last year. Dalton Varsho's a young guy that should help him out as well. But there's one all-star right there, and that's Ketel Marte. There's one all-star in this lineup, realistically. Carson Kelly, I guess he could be an all-star. He had a pretty decent year before. I think he got hurt last year or something. But yeah, it's not a lineup that strikes fear into anybody. They got that Seth Beer kid who could theoretically be DH and probably hit a bunch of home runs. He hasn't had too much time in the majors yet, but he's a guy that, you know, should be able to mash. Even if he does end up striking out a lot, he should be able to, you know, put up 25, 30 home runs in an everyday DH role. But yeah, Diamondbacks fans, I don't know, I doubt there's any listening, but yeah, your team, honestly, looking at it, I was going to say they're not better than, or they are better than the Rockies, but I can't really say that for sure. I mean, you got kind of just a meh of talent here. Yeah, I'm going to put the Diamondbacks slightly ahead of the Rockies, but only very slightly. I think they're going to compete for fourth and fifth in the division, and fourth and fifth in all these projections and everything else we look at. So, sorry, Diamondbacks. So as of right now, it's still Dodgers, Padres, D-backs, Rockies. Now let's look at the Giants and see where we slot them in. They're running it back with Brandon Belt at first base. I think as of now, Tommy La Stella would play second. Brandon Crawford at short. Longoria at third. An outfield of Lamonte Wade, Mike Yastrzemski, and I guess Steven Duggar with Joey Bart behind the plate. Now the Giants are another one that are going to, as of right now, I see them third in lineups. And that's just giving them benefit of the doubt because they were all so good last year. But, you know, just by name, they're not that far above the Rockies and D-backs. But that's because more so of age. So you got Brandon Belt, Brandon Crawford, and Evan Longoria, all born between the years of 85 and 88. Which means they're all in their mid-30s. And yes, Brandon Belt was good last year. Yes, Brandon Crawford was good last year. Longoria was hurt most of the year, but was decent. But you're still counting on these guys to, you know, kind of play above what they should be playing, or play, you know, a little bit better than their age is at this point. Baseball has become a younger game. You don't see too many mid-30 and above players being that productive on an everyday basis. So you're counting on them three to do that. You're counting on Mike Yastrzemski, who had a little bit of a down year last year after an MVP-type year in 2020. You're counting on him to figure it out. You're counting on Lamonte Wade Jr., who was one of the scariest hitters in their lineup last year. You're counting on him to replicate that, which is very possible. I'm not saying it's not, but, you know, you don't necessarily have a track record with him. You just kind of have a, well, hopefully this works out. And then you got Steven Duggar, I guess, right now is your other outfielder, or Darren Ruff, who is also up there in age and really can only hit lefties in the infield. You got depth. The thing with the Giants lineup is depth and the way they use matchups. They got guys like, you know, Mauricio Dubon, Tyro Estrada, Wilmer Flores. The outfield, they got a couple guys, Austin Slater, well, Darren Ruff against lefties. You got guys that aren't necessarily all-star players, but they play like all-stars against certain things. So, you know, righties against left-handers, left-handers against right-handers batting, right-handers against left-handers batting. You can get the platoon going in your favor where, you know, you might not have one all-star at the position, but you add up the two guys and they can add up to all-star numbers at a position. So, you know, if you're putting stock into Belt and Crawford continuing as good as they were last year, if you're putting stock into Yastrzemski figuring it out, if you're putting stock into Lamonte Wade being the same as last year, then it's still a pretty solid lineup. You know, and like I said, depth-wise, you know, their 1-9 lineup might not be as strong as the Padres, but their 1-13 lineup is probably stronger than the Padres 1-13. The big loss, obviously, is behind the plate. Buster Posey retires. You got Joey Bart as of right now, who, you know, top pick, you know, first-round pick, theoretically should be a guy that can come in and be good, but he had a little bit of a look in 2020, didn't quite do so well, didn't get too much of a look last year because Buster Posey came back. And that's a lot to fill. You know, Buster Posey didn't quite have the power numbers anymore, but he was still a guy that you wanted with runners on base, a guy that you put 3-4 in your lineup. And, you know, is Joey Bart a guy that you put 3-4 in your lineup right now? Probably not. So that's a big loss. You know, they had Chris Bryant in their lineup last year. They don't have Chris Bryant in their lineup as of now. Yes, in theory, they could sign Chris Bryant. They could sign somebody else. You know, they could. There's not too much for them to sign that would, you know. There's Trevor Story left. There's, you know, Carlos Correa left, but they don't necessarily need a shortstop. They could, I guess, move someone to second base if they really want to sign him, but I don't think you're moving Brandon Crawford. So if they would sign like a guy like Story, maybe he plays second base. You know, there's not a lot for them to do there. There could be, you know, potential trade options or whatever the case is. But as of right now, I think the Giants have the third best lineup in the division, and that's counting on a lot. You know, they very well could fall to fourth, fifth in the division if Bell and Crawford and Longoria can't hold up. If Lamont Wade has a sophomore slump, if Ike Yastrzemski's really been figured out, then you're looking at a bunch of guys with that are gonna supposed to play every day with below average production or average production, and you know that's not gonna, especially in the stadium they play at, you're not getting too much power. You are focusing more on driving the ball in the gaps. So yeah, and it's very well the Giants could have the best lineup out of all this. I don't think they'll, or at least numbers-wise, they won't be near the Dodgers. Top of the lineup, they won't be near the Padres. But overall, like I said, 1-13 or whatever it is, they might have a case for the strongest with the Dodgers, 1-2. But when it goes 1-9, they don't have a case. They're number three as of now in the division. So that's where the Dodgers stay. The Dodgers stay 1, Padres 2, Giants 3. Diamondbacks 4, Rockies 5, but I mean, once you get 4 or 5, who really cares? But either way, the Dodgers should have the best lineup in the division if they sign Freddie Freeman, even more so. So let's hope for that. That's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about how Dodgers match up in fielding and defense with the rest of the league, but maybe hopefully talking about baseball being back and players reporting on Friday. But make sure to check out Locked On MLB with Paul Francis Sullivan, a.k.a. Sully, because he brings you a unique perspective on the major leagues past and present. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts, just like we are. Make sure to follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or send us a text, you can do so at 323-863-5625. Or you can send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device, play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.